Oh, Father, we thank you this evening. We thank you for your awesome presence. And for, Father God, each one of those songs reminded us of who you truly are and what you will do for us. And I'm asking, Father, that you do a mighty works among your people here this night. There's people in here, Father, that needs a physical healing desperately. And Father, we thank you for those healings right now. And Father God, your grace is more than sufficient, we know. And Father God, we thank you that you spread your grace out to us and you walk with us and you talk with us and you lead us down the path you would have us to go. Give us more wisdom this night, Father, so that when we walk out these doors, we will know what your heart is. And we will know what you would have us to do. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're living in very hard, trying times. And we need to be aware that God told us this morning we're in warfare. And the warfare is going to get worse. And every one of these songs should have reminded you that when you're going through what we're going to go through, that God is still there. He did not leave you nor forsake you. He is still there. God gave me a teaching, but he told me the teaching's going to be about birthing time. But earlier this morning when I was in prayer, God told me that he wants me to read Isaiah 51, the whole chapter, 1 through 23. So I want you to really look at the screen, listen to what the Word of God is saying to you, because this is us. He said, I had to read this to you. All right, mine says, committed to seeking God. This is a Message Bible. Listen to me, all you who are serious about right living and committed to seeking God. You see why God wants this read to you? Ponder the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were dug. Yes, ponder Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who bore you. Think of it. One solitary man, when I called him. But once I blessed him, he multiplied. Likewise, I, God, will comfort Zion, comfort all her mounds of ruins. I'll transform her dead ground into Eden, her moonscape into the garden of God, a place filled with exuberance and laughter. Now, you see, if we go back up there, and verse 2, it said, yes, ponder Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who bore you. Think of it, one solitary man, when I called him, but once I called him, once I blessed him, he multiplied. So, you know, God has called each one of you. You're one single person, but now that God has called you, he wants you to go forth and save the lost and multiply. All right. Let's skip down to verse 4. Pay attention, my people. Listen to me, nations. Revelation flows from me. My decisions light up the world. My deliverance arrives. My deliverance arrives on the run. My salvation right on time. I'll bring justice to the peoples. Even faraway islands will look to me and take hope in my saving power. See what he's going to do? He has promised that he was going to keep us. He said even foreign nations will look to his saving power. Verse 6 says, look up at the skies. Ponder the earth under your feet. The skies will fade out like smoke. The earth will wear out like work pants. And the people will die off like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My setting things right will never be obsolete. So God's always working on your life. Verse 7 said, listen now, you who know right from wrong, you who hold my teaching inside you, pay no attention to insults, and when mocked, don't let it get you down. So who is he talking to in verse 7? Listen now, you who know right from wrong. He's talking about us, right? You who hold my teaching inside of you. Verse 8 says, those insults and mockeries are moth-eaten from brains that are termite-ridden, but my setting things right lasts. Whatever God does lasts in your life. My salvation goes on and on and on. Wake up, flex your muscles, God. Wake up as in the old days, in the long ago. Didn't you once make mincemeat of Rahab, dispatch the old chaos dragon? And didn't you once dry up the sea, the powerful waters of the deep, and then made the bottom of the ocean a road for the redeemed to walk across? He's reminding him all the miracles he performed. In the same way, God's ransom will come back to Zion, cheering, shouting, joy eternal wreathing their heads, exuberant ecstatics transporting them, and not a sign of moans or groans. This is what God is going to do to us. This is what he's been promising us. And verse 12 says, I'm the one comforting you. What are you afraid of, or who? Some man or woman who'll soon be dead. Some poor wretch destined for dust. You've forgotten me, God, who made you, who unfurled the skies, who founded the earth. And here you are, quaking like an aspen before the tantrums of a tyrant who thinks he can kick down the world. But what will come of the tantrums? Verse 14 said, the victims will be released before you know it. They're not going to die. They're not even going to go hungry. For I am God, your very own God, who stirs up the sea and whips up the waves, named God of the angel armies. I teach you how to talk word by word and personally watch over you, even while I'm unfurling the skies. See what he's saying to you? Setting earth on solid foundations and greeting Zion, welcome my people. So wake up, rub the sleep from your eyes, up on your feet, Jerusalem. You've drunk the cup God handed you, the strong drink of his anger, and he's been angry with us. You drank it down to the last drop, staggered and collapsed, dead drunk. And nobody to help you home, no one among your friends or children to take you by the hand and put you in bed. You've been hit with a double dose of trouble. Does anyone care? Assault and battery, hunger and death, will anyone comfort? Your sons and daughters have passed out, strewn in the streets like stunned rabbits, sleeping off the strong drink of God's anger, the rage of your God. Verse 21, therefore listen, please. You with your splitting headaches, you who are nursing the hangovers that didn't come from drinking wine. Your master, your God, has something to say. Your God has taken up his people's case. See, here's your courtroom. Look, I've taken back the drink that sent you reeling. No more drinking from that jug of my anger. He's saying he's pulled his anger away. I've passed it over to your abusers to drink, those who ordered you down on the ground so we can walk all over you, and you had to do it flat on the ground. You were the dirt under their feet. Now, you go on into Isaiah 52 and read verse 1 and 3, and mine's titled, God is leading you out of here. And it says, wake up, pull on your boots, Zion, dress up in your Sunday best, Jerusalem, holy city. Those who want no part of God have been called out. In other words, God's separated the goats from the sheep. They won't be coming along. So, you know, God's already called out those who don't want his glory. So when his glory drops, they won't be around. Verse 2 says, brush off the dust and get to your feet, captive Jerusalem. Throw off your chains, captive daughter of Zion. God says you were sold for nothing. You're being bought back for nothing. Now, that's a good scripture. Isaiah 52. Or was it, it was 51, yeah, Isaiah 51, and then Isaiah 52, verses 1 through 3. I hope that when you go home, you'll read it again and understand that is you that God is talking about. And he did, we all know he was angry with us. I know he was angry with me. I don't care what you know. I know he was angry with me, and I know when he said, I'm pulling my anger off of you, little one, and I'm pouring my love into you. Now, hopefully, each one of you have been to that place with God where he's told you that also. All right, let's get into the teaching, and it's titled Birthing Time. God said, my children, you are impregnated with my destinies for your life. Right now, you are having labor pains, and soon the baby will be birthed. You have been waiting a long time for this miracle to happen, and happen it shall. So quit losing heart. You know, quit getting faint-hearted, and just know that God has a perfect, you know, every baby comes when it wants to come. And so God's going to bring your baby out whenever he wants to bring it out. God said, the miracles will be seen all over the world, and I have endued you with power from on high to birth the miracles in this season of your life. Really and truly, church, this is the season that God has called each one of us into so he can use us in this end time miracle. I'm hearing him say production that he's going to put on. Your heart has been crying out to me, and your eyes have been upon me, and you have been watching and waiting for the miraculous to occur. Birthing time has come upon you, little ones. The heavens will be emptied out as the miracles come forth. Not one single saint will carry all the miracles. And we're going to read that in Mark 16, 17, and 18. God said, the miraculous will fall upon the multitudes, and my message of salvation shall be carried to the furthest corners of this land. And when he says, not one single saint will carry all the miracles, in other words, it won't be just one person that's going to have the anointing on them to do that. And Mark 16, 17 said, Jesus speaking, and the people who believe will be able to do these things as proof. Do you believe? All right, this is what you're going to do. They will use my name to force demons out of people. They will speak in languages they never learned. If they pick up snakes or drink any poison, they will not be hurt. They will lay their hands on sick people and they will get well. Every believer can do this. I don't care who you are, every believer can do this. Then God said, those who are tried and true will carry the greatest anointing. Those who are tried and true will carry the greatest anointing for the miraculous. You have paid the supreme price and you shall be honored above others. Do not allow that to become an opportunity for you to walk in pride and self-exaltation. Freely you have received, freely give out to others. Now, I looked up tried and true, and it says it's tried and true is used in various phrases to describe something that has proved effective or reliable before. So God's already tried you and you came through. And so you're one of those tried and true that he can now trust to carry the glory with the miracles in it. And Matthew 10, 7, 8 said, and as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what you're supposed to be preaching. You're not supposed to be preaching, keep on sinning and still go to heaven. All right, that one verse, freely you have received, so freely give, is really a summary of the entire gospel of Jesus Christ. You receive the gospel of Jesus Christ freely. And the impact that the truth should have upon us, God has given us all things freely in Christ. The result should be that we freely give of ourselves to God and then to others. So let me read that again. Freely you have received, freely give is really a summary of the entire gospel of Jesus Christ and the impact that the truth should have upon us. God has given us all things freely in Christ. The result should be that we freely give of ourselves to God and then to others. Don't go out there and say, well, if you send me $10, I'll give you a prophecy. That kind of stuff is not godly. All right, children, God, here's God speaking. Children, the Holy Spirit never goes on vacation. Get that in your spirit. Therefore, he is with you continually, and he abides deep within your vessel of honor. Call upon him at all times. Allow him to lead, guide, and direct you in all the ways you should go. Never for one instance lean to your own understanding. And I believe God spoke to a few people this morning, quit leaning to your own understanding. Call upon the name of Jesus and watch and see what occurs in your life. You see God speaking. You see, the Godhead mightily is with you always. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was given to you when my son Jesus went away. My son tells you about this event in my word. Now, before we read about this event, you know, one thing that every parent in here should be doing, and really any individual can do this, is I will sit down now and say, God, can you give me an update on what is going on with my family? I don't ask him to repeat what he's already told me. I want an update of what's going on now, today. You could say in your life. But I really think that you should go before the Father and find out what's going on so you know how to pray, right? Now, I was looking at your faces. I know a lot of you don't do that. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I know what God has told me is the end result is going to be, but sometimes I see some really far out things going on. And so I say, okay, God, you and I need to talk. I want to know what's going on. I know the beginning. I know the end. Now I need to know what's going on this day. And he tells me, he gives me an update. He's not upset about that. And then I can go, and then I go on knowing what's going to happen next. There's nothing wrong with that. That is not doubt and unbelief. If you people would pray about your children, but your kids wouldn't bring any surprises home to you. That's the truth. Because God would show you what's going on. So you know how to lead, guide, and direct them. All right, now in John 14:25, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. God said, Jesus told us about this, and this is Jesus speaking. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. He was talking to the disciples. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, God told me a couple years ago that first it was him, you know, in the Old Testament. Then came Jesus in the New Testament. And then came the Holy Spirit because Jesus went on home. And then he said, and now I'm back. And that's when he was mad and he came back. But now I notice he's back to the Holy Spirit again. See how he's doing this? And he told us, you know, in his word that he's not angry with us anymore. And now he's sending, you know, the Holy Spirit's back to lead, guide, and direct us as we allow him to. God said, you need to take my word and devour it so that the enemy cannot steal, kill, and destroy any longer. All that is going to be accomplished in and through you will be by my Holy Spirit. So you won't be able to do anything. The devil can use you. The devil can use you to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. He can. But if you're working for God, the only way this is going to happen is through the Holy Spirit. And you have to invite him in and you have to treat him with respect. God says, some say I do not need the Holy Spirit. Well, then you will not do any works for the kingdom of heaven. Some say there is no Holy Spirit. God said, that's fine. Don't look for any signs, wonders, and miracles to occur then. Why do you not abolish all your foolish thinking and just become like a little child and simply believe my word and follow me? How many of you, when you was first born again and you read the word, you got all excited about all these things God told you you could do, and you went out there and did them, and you was all excited, but here was some cold-hearted pastor who said, you can't do those things. Sit down and shut up. You know, it might have taken a few years for him to quench that childlike spirit that you had, but eventually, if they do it long enough and you receive it long enough, it does happen. You start questioning, God, is this really you? Or God, is this some demon working through me? That happened to me. You know, it is God, it is the Holy Spirit, and God is using you, and the Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing you, and the Holy Spirit's telling you, the Holy Spirit's leading you to do what God wants you to do, just like Jesus followed God's voice and did what God wanted him to do. You need the Holy Spirit, and if not, you're going to keep making dumb, foolish mistakes. In Matthew 18, verse 1 through 5 says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Now, I want to stop there. I've been hearing a lot of, and God's told me this too, that we're going into the season of great miracles and we'll raise the dead. Now, the only way you're going to be able to raise the dead is to have childlike faith and just really trust and believe God and be led by the Holy Spirit. The first time I raised somebody from the dead, they said, "You can't do that. You need to stop." And the pastors of this area told their people, "Don't go near her. She's of the devil." Because a dead person was raised. God, with his Holy Spirit working in you, will use you to raise the dead. And you don't do it just because you want to be exalted. You do it because your heart, you love that person so much and you don't want to see them go, because you know that they have a great mighty works to do for the Father that they have not yet finished. All right. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here, God speaking, Jesus speaking, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you, and you will eat with me." Then Jesus said, "Children, I truly do stand at the door and knock." Period. "I knock and I knock and I knock." Period. "As I am standing, I am waiting for you to respond." I wanted to put in there, as I am standing, I wanted to say knocking, but he wouldn't let me put that in there. All right. He said, "I'm waiting for you to respond. Still to this day, there are those in the sound of my voice that have not yielded 100% to my knocking. What are you waiting for? Does not my word tell you the door will close and you will not be able to enter in?" Let's go back to raising the dead. You know, you raise the dead because you love them and you're so exuberant and you want to see them fulfill the call of God. But a lot of people who died and then people called them back, they didn't want to come back because it's so wonderful in heaven. Those three that I did, they said, "Don't call me back again. Leave me alone." But they had ministries that they would have been, oh, God would have used them mightily. But once they saw heaven, they didn't want to come back. There's other people we know that God wanted to use them, but they took a trip to heaven and came back, and then they didn't want to live no more. So, you know, if you call them back and they get upset with you and say, "Just quit praying for me," then quit praying. Let them alone. Let them rest. Amen? Come on. Remember my story as the one person that raised from the dead. Then God raised them from the dead, brought them home from the hospital, and then God told me they were going to die in 2 weeks because they were not strong enough to do what God told them to do. And I went to the bathroom because I was at work, and I started praying. I said, no, you can't do this. And God said, "Well, here's how it is. If I don't take him right now, he will never come to heaven. He'll go to hell. Because he's not strong enough to leave his wife," and that's what God told him to do. He said, "But if I take him right now, he's ready, he'll come with me." He said, "But I'm leaving the decision up to you." And I thought about it a while, and I said, "Well, God, go ahead and take him." Because he was a young man, because no matter what I know you're going to do with him, I want him to spend his life in heaven with you. He said, "All right, you get a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning that he's gone." I got a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning from the brother saying he passed. But see, what I'm getting at is God gave me the choice. If I would insist that God bring him back, God would have. But he would never went to heaven. So let's not be greedy with this kind of stuff. You know, listen to what God's telling you, because he'll speak to you through the whole process. All right. We don't want anybody to end up in hell, do we? Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13, Jesus speaking. Jesus is telling this parable. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Well, we were talking about him knocking at the door, all right? And he says he's going to close the door, all right? Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." You know, God's told me many times, I will not allow anybody to ride on your coattails. In other words, if you think, well, I'll just stay at the lighthouse and you know, I'll get into all the glory. No, that won't happen. You have to have your own oil. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." You know, if you think you're just going to slide in there at the last minute, it's not going to happen. You know, I know people right now in my life who their loved ones, some have died already. And before they died, they asked some members of my family, "Are you ready to meet the Maker?" And they say yes, but if I was there, I would have been behind him saying. So these people, God has shown me, these people think that they're going to be like the ones who were sick and died, that they're going to be able to just say, "Father, forgive me," right before they draw the last breath. It's not going to happen, because the relatives who have already died was not living with the anointing. And they didn't know, they weren't taught. But these people who live in my home, they live with the anointing, and they're taught constantly how they should live. So they are not going to have a last minute, "Forgive me, Lord." It's not going to work. But this is what they think is going to happen. So don't you be deceived either, because that just doesn't happen. Remember the man I told you, who a preacher's son, and he wouldn't preach, and he drove a cheese truck and went down over the mountain and died. And when he died, he went to heaven, and God told him that he was sending him back, and he was supposed to see. And he always told his dad, he said, "I'll just ask God to forgive me right before I draw my last breath." Well, he didn't have a chance, because when he went down over that bank, he got knocked out, and then he was dead. So his job then was to go around when he came back, preaching in the churches, telling the people, "You do not rely on a deathbed repentance." And he traveled. Last time I heard, he was traveling all over the world. Last time I heard, really, he was up in Alaska preaching that. So it isn't me telling you that. It's God. All right, after God said all this, at this point I heard the word apocalypse. I just heard that word. The word apocalypse is derived from the Greek word apokalypse, which translates most literally to an uncovering. In the context of religious texts like the Bible, the word is most often used in relation to a holy disclosure of information or knowledge. See that? It is a disclosure of a holy disclosure of information or knowledge, usually through some sort of prophetic dream or vision. Now, the apocalypse is upon you. This is God speaking, and I am uncovering hidden mysteries in the heavenly realm. Only the wise will be able to enter into this knowledge that I am releasing to my people. Now, do you understand what God's saying right there? We are in a new realm with God, where he's uncovering now the deep mysteries in heaven, and he calls it the apocalypse. All right? I called Chris and said, "How do you pronounce that word?" I said, "I can't even pronounce it. I don't know what it means. I don't pronounce it." So I looked it up. Now, God said, "I am still calling you into the third heaven. I am still calling for you to sit at my feet and receive fresh revelation knowledge of what is going on in the church and the world." Now, see, this is where we're at. We're in this uncovering of knowledge of heaven. that God wants to release into us. God said, I already called you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you responded, there is now a deeper learning of the kingdom that I so desire to take you into. Isn't this awesome? This is so awesome. You ask, why can't I travel to heaven like others? And then this is God's reply back to you. Number one, have you been standing by my side continually asking me to cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Number two, have you done away with wrong attitudes? Number three, have you cemented your feet in the sure foundation of unadulterated love? God said, these are all requirements to receive the deeper truths of the heavenly realm. I have had you in school for quite some time now, and you have graduated from different degrees of knowledge, but this is the final step into total graduation of all that heaven holds. Isn't that awesome? Because I thought, well, God, we've already went through a graduation ceremony. But this is what he said. These are all requirements to receive the deeper truths of the heavenly realm. I have had you in school for quite some time now, and you have graduated from different degrees of knowledge. But this is the final step into total graduation of all that heaven holds. Now, in the natural, when we start college, we go from, anybody's going to college, you know, you go from one degree to another until we reach our final goal. This is what I'm writing. We start with an associate's and we go to a bachelor, then we go to a master's and we go to a doctor, then professional and specialist. So the same is true in the spiritual realm. When you start out as associate, you didn't know nothing. But by the time you finished, you knew a little bit. Then you go into a bachelor's degree and you say, oh, geez, this is really harder than the associate's was. And each one got harder because you learned new information, right? And so this is what's been happening to us. And it's awesome. Really, it's really awesome if you think about it. We've been in college all this time. I'm hoping we was all in high school before we started this. And God's just been taking us from one degree of knowledge to another. Now, God says the price has been steep, but the end result is worth it all. Watching souls come into my kingdom will be worth all that you sacrifice to get to this graduation ceremony of the century. You finally got your specialist degree. Right? This graduation ceremony carries my Shekinah glory. You will be endued with power from on high like never before. You yourself will be a sign and a wonder for me. You see how this works? You get so excited. Do with me what you have promised. You haven't finished college yet. You haven't gotten your degree yet. See this? Us who have gone to college, you know what that's like. Mark works in a college, so he knows what that's like. And he probably went to college too, because when you work in a college, they expect you to go to college. Right? And we can't tell the teacher, well, let's skip over this subject. I don't like it. And that's what we try to get God to do, is skip over things that we don't like. Don't test me on this because I know I'm not going to pass it. I don't want to take it again. It just, relates right to heaven, doesn't it? All right, God said, this graduation ceremony carries my Shekinah glory. You will be endued with power. And see, you will be endued with power from on high like never before. You yourself will be a sign and wonder for me. Come to the greatest graduation ceremony of all times and receive your mantle of glory. Now, I want to stop there and tell you that some of you are chomping at the bits because you want to be in your ministry. If God placed you in your ministry when you wanted it, you wouldn't even make it off the floor. But even today, if you, without all the anointings that God is putting on you, if you don't have all these anointings, you aren't going to make it. In a few years, you'll have crashed. I'm telling you, you have to go through the school of hard knocks, and you have to graduate with high honors in order to be a vessel of honor that God can work through. That's just how it is. God cannot use a weak vessel with no knowledge. Are you understanding all this? So tonight, We're going to have a graduation ceremony. Tonight, you are graduating from the graduation ceremony of the century. And this graduation ceremony carries my Shekinah glory. You will be endued with power from on high like never before. You yourself will be a sign and a wonder for me. This is what is in this graduation tonight. Then he invites you to come to the greatest graduation ceremony of all times and receive your mantle of glory. Tonight, what God wants to do is he wants to give you the mantle of glory so you can carry it throughout the land and bring in those lost souls. You know, some of us sitting in here tonight, we have sicknesses in our body that we think that if God doesn't heal us, he can't use us. That's a lie. That's a lie to begin with. Don't let that hinder you or draw you back. You keep going because God says in the Word that as you do his work, he'll take care of you. We just can't stop because the enemy is bugging us with a sickness. We just can't. We have to keep going. You know, I thought about many ministers that I know in the 50 years I've been ministering and how they have been sick. Some have died believing in faith that God was going to heal them. Some of them had miracles at the very last second, but they never quit ministering. They kept right on ministering until either they were healed or they were going. But then they kept ministering after they were healed. So in order for you to graduate from this wonderful graduation that God's doing tonight, you're going to have to understand that whether God heals you or not, just like that one song we sang, you're still a vessel of honor that God wants to work through. So tonight, I want the altars open, excuse me, for you to come to this graduation to receive your mantle of glory so God can use you. And when you come to the altar, the altar's open, and when you come to the altar, I'm going to have Adam blow the shofar over you. And this is what God told me to pray. He says, tonight, Father, as we blow the shofar, we are coming home once again. Listen to what he told me to write down. We are coming home once again to sit at your feet to gather heavenly knowledge to lead the peoples into hope. This is what God wants to do to you. And if you're going to say, well, I've been here before and it's not working, then go sit down because God can't use you. He just explained all that to you. So once they get in place, Adam, I want you to blow the shofar over them. Watch, Nancy's going to fall. I want you to blow the shofar over them so they can sit at your feet and gather heavenly knowledge to lead the other people into hope. And they can receive the mantle of glory that God wants to put a place in. Go ahead, Astra, just receive that, honey. Just go on. That's it. Just receive it. God is saying this is not a light thing tonight, so don't take it lightly.